Thank you, Eric, for using your gift to remind us of what John the Baptist did to prepare the way for our Lord Jesus. Well, question for you. Can you name the original 12 people Jesus called to be his apostles? I say original because I'm including here Judas Iscariot, who would betray Jesus. He would, of course, later be replaced, but he was at first called to be one of the 12. So he's one of them. Can you name the other 11 original apostles? My guess is that many of us are struggling to do so. And that's interesting, isn't it? The apostles were important people. They were personally educated, trained by Jesus, and they started the building of the New Testament church. The New Testament tells us they will sit on thrones judging the tribes of Israel, yet it's hard to remember all their names. I'm going to show you a list of the 12 apostles toward the end of the sermon, and I'll also tell you why it's hard to remember their names at that time. I mention the apostles because our focus today is going to be the first apostles who are drawn to Jesus. There were four apostles who were especially close to Jesus. They were the first apostles to meet him. In every list of the 12 apostles given in the New Testament, their names appear first. They will be our focus, especially two of those four. Our text is John chapter 1, verses 29 through 42. I invite you to open your Bibles. And if you are able, I ask you to stand for the reading. We stand in honor of God, recognizing that this is His holy word to us. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him. He is John the Baptist. Next day John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come, and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "So you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. Bow together in prayer. Father God Almighty, we ask you to use this word that we have read to help us understand how you continue to draw people to Jesus, your Son. May we respond to this word with glad hearts. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. In this passage, we see the first apostles being drawn to Jesus. And specifically, we see them being drawn to Jesus through others. That's my first point today. Drawn to Jesus through others. Our text begins with John the Baptist, who we learned about last week from Pastor Matt. John the Baptist was not one of the 12 apostles. John the Baptist had a very unique role. He was a prophet given the task of preparing the way for Jesus. And we read in our passage that God revealed to John the Baptist that the man Jesus is the Lamb of God, the Messiah. Because John the Baptist was a fallen human being living in a fallen world, he would later come to some confusion about that. Pastor Matt addressed that last Sunday. But when Jesus began his ministry, God revealed to John the Baptist who Jesus is, and then John the Baptist continued to witness of him. John the Baptist was drawn to Jesus in a unique way, but with John the Baptist's ministry, we begin to see the typical way people are drawn to Jesus. People are drawn to Jesus through others. We first of all see John the Baptist being used to draw two of his own disciples to Jesus. He points his disciples to Jesus and he says, "Here is the Lamb of God." His testimony, his witness, his words drew two of his disciples to Jesus, and the two would become apostles. Of the 12 apostles, they were the first ones to meet Jesus and follow him. Now, please notice we are given the name of one of them. Look at verses 38 through 41 with me. We are told that one of the two who followed Jesus was Andrew. We're never told the name of the other. You can read the whole Gospel of John, and you will never find the name of the other one. We know from other passages, which I'll show you in a moment, that the other one is John. He's the author of the Gospel we're looking at. That's why we call it the Gospel of John. And because of his humility, because he wrote this book to exalt Jesus, to testify about Jesus, he never includes his own name. Andrew and John were the first of the 12 apostles drawn to Jesus, and they were drawn to Jesus through the words, the testimony, the witness of John the Baptist. And then the very next event we see is one of those two, Andrew, going to draw his brother to Jesus. Andrew's brother is Simon Peter. Verse 41 says, "He, Andrew, first found his own brother Simon and said to him, 'We've found the Messiah,'" which means Christ. The word Messiah is Hebrew. The word Christ is Greek. The point is that Andrew told his brother, "We have found the one promised in the Old Testament." Andrew's testimony drew his brother Simon Peter to Jesus. The witness of John the Baptist drew Andrew to Jesus, and the witness of Andrew drew his brother Simon Peter to Jesus. So at the end of our passage, we have three people drawn to Jesus through others: Andrew, John, and Simon Peter. The three of them would end up being apostles. And the way they were drawn to Jesus through others is the typical way people are drawn to Jesus. To emphasize this, I want to read you another great passage about the first apostles. Look with me at Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. The verses say, "While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him." This event involves Andrew and his brother Simon Peter, and it also involves another set of brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. This is one of the passages in which we see John's identity. Andrew and John were the first apostles to meet Jesus. We know Andrew told his brother Simon about Jesus. We can safely assume John did the same. The four of them grew up in the same area. They likely were childhood friends. The four of them were fishermen. Now, this event recorded in Matthew happened later than the event recorded in our passage in John. I'm going to clarify this by laying out for you an order of events regarding these first apostles. I'll call our passage, John chapter 1, initial contact. Initial contact. We know Andrew, Simon Peter, and John meet Jesus and start to follow his teaching. We assume James did as well at that time. We assume that just like Andrew got his brother Simon, John also got his brother James, and the four of them were following Jesus at this time, following his teaching. John doesn't mention that he got his brother, just like he doesn't mention his name because of his humility. The four of them start to look to Jesus as their rabbi, their teacher. They commit themselves to learning from Jesus. That's initial contact. That happened at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. Now, in Matthew chapter 4, we see a second step in their relationship with Jesus. And I'll call it full-time discipleship. I don't know how much time went by between the event recorded in John chapter 1 and the event recorded in Matthew chapter 4. But in Matthew 4, we see a big step occur. In Matthew 4, we see brothers Andrew and Peter and brothers John and James start to follow Jesus full-time. We see these four men, four fishermen, give up their occupation, they leave behind their nets, leave behind their boat, and now they will be with Jesus all the time. This is step two in their relationship with Jesus. Before this step, they were full-time fishermen who were, when time permitted, learning from Jesus. Now they follow Jesus full-time. And there is a final step in their relationship with Jesus as well. I will call it apostleship. It is most clearly recorded in Mark chapter 3, quote, "And he, Jesus, went up on a mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons." This is when they became the selected apostles of Jesus, along with the rest of the 12. That did not happen immediately in their relationship with Jesus. I was reading an excellent book by Dr. John MacArthur this week called 12 Ordinary Men, a book about the apostles. He believes half of Jesus' ministry was over at this point in Mark chapter 3. The ministry of Jesus was approximately 3 years long. When he named the 12 apostles, half of his ministry was over. In other words, the cross was only a year and a half away when Jesus officially appointed his 12 apostles. Explain that so you have more knowledge about the apostles and what's going on in these passages that we're looking at. Now back to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4, we're at this second step of their relationship with Jesus. They are becoming full-time followers of Jesus, full-time disciples. And I love what Jesus said to the four of them. "He who is the Word of God has, to say the least, a great way with words." We hear Jesus say to the four fishermen, "Follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men." That's a great play on words by he who is the Word made flesh. I'm going to make you who are fishermen, fishers of men. Very easy to remember that statement, isn't it? And we're supposed to remember that statement. We're supposed to remember it. That statement, "you are going to be fishers of men," should remind us of what we're supposed to do. Listen to this. When we are drawn to Jesus, we should then want to draw others to Jesus. When you know Jesus is the only way of salvation, How can you not want others to be drawn to Jesus? And that's God's plan for the gospel to spread. People who are drawn to Jesus then draw others to Jesus. Think about your own life. If you love Jesus, if you believe in Him and you are following Him, well, how did it start? At some point in your life, someone told you about Jesus. For many of you, it may have been your parents. For others of you, it may have been a friend or a spouse or a relative. Someone told you about Jesus or brought you to church to hear about Jesus. Someone witnessed to you about Jesus. We're drawn to Jesus through other people. And when we are drawn to Jesus, we should then want to draw others to Him as well. That's application for us. God intends for us to be fishers of men. That's part of following Him. We should be actively seeking to draw others to Jesus through the use of our gifts, through our involvement in ministry, through our witness to others. We should be seeking to draw others to Jesus. We should be magnifying Jesus. You don't have to be a preacher to do that. You do have to use words. Words are necessary, but you don't have to be a preacher. Andrew's words to his brother were very simple. We have found the Messiah. Now, if you were talking to your sibling or friend, you might say, we have found the true Savior. We have found the true God. His name is Jesus. Whenever you say something like that, you're doing the work of drawing others to Jesus. You're being fishers of men. You're magnifying Jesus. And that is a major part of God's plan for the spread of the gospel. People are drawn to Jesus through others. And dear Christians, we can all be a part of that. That's point number one. It's an exciting point. I have one other overall point today, and I'm calling it changed by Jesus for others. We're drawn to Jesus through others, and then we are changed by Jesus for the sake of others. Look with me at what Jesus says to Peter in our text in John chapter 1. Verse 42 is staggering. I love this verse. Quote, he here is Andrew. Andrew brought him, Simon, to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which means Peter. Jesus is meeting Simon for the first time. Andrew has just introduced him to Jesus. What is awesome is that we see Jesus already knew Simon. And most importantly, Jesus knows who Simon will become. When Jesus says to Simon, you shall be called Cephas, which means Peter, he's telling Simon, I'm going to change you. You are going to become a different man. You are going to be Cephas. When you continue to read the Gospels, you discover that Simon, the son of John, was very quick to act, quick to speak, slow to think. Simon was impetuous. He was impulsive. He was overconfident. He was proud. Because of those characteristics, Simon was quick to act, quick to speak. Therefore, Simon was typically the first to be right about something, but he was also the first to be wrong. And when he was wrong, he was very wrong. Simon was the one who jumped out of the boat on a stormy sea because he saw Jesus walking on the water. That was an awesome act of faith. But of course, Simon soon started to sink into the water because of lack of faith. Simon was commended by Jesus for saying to Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Simon was also rebuked by Jesus. Jesus actually said to him, get thee behind me, Satan. You're tempting me. Simon boasted to Jesus on the night before his crucifixion, though everyone else fall away because of you, I will never fall away, not me, Lord. A very proud statement. And sadly, Simon fearfully deserted Jesus that very night, saying, I don't know the man. I've never met him. I don't know him. The man Simon was not ready to be a servant leader. The man Simon was not ready to help build the church. The man Simon had a lot of rough edges. Jesus said to Simon, "You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. Cephas is Aramaic. Peter is Greek. Jesus is saying, you're going to be changed. Peter would end up being the leader of the 12 apostles. Peter would end up being a man of firm, thoughtful, bold, steadfast faith. Peter would be the first one to boldly preach the gospel after the Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. Peter would be the first apostle to enter the home of a Gentile. Peter would write two epistles, and Peter would die a martyr for Christ. We know he died a martyr because Jesus told him he would. At the end of the Gospel of John, we hear Jesus say to Peter, quote, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. Verse 19 leaves no doubt that Peter ended up being a martyr. And because of the words of verse 18, we should not be surprised to find it written in early church history that Peter was crucified. I mentioned earlier a book by John MacArthur called 12 Ordinary Men. Here is what Dr. MacArthur writes about Peter's death. Quote, "All the records of early church history indicate that Peter was crucified. Eusebius cites the testimony of Clement, who says that before Peter was crucified, he was forced to watch the crucifixion of his own wife. As he watched her being led to her death, Clement says, Peter called to her by name, saying, 'Remember the Lord.' When it was Peter's turn to die, he pleaded to be crucified upside down because he wasn't worthy to die as his Lord had died. And thus he was nailed to the cross, head downward." The man Simon, who said, "I don't know the man," he would not have done that. The man Simon would not have done that. The man Simon fearfully denied Christ three times. But through his saving relationship with Jesus, and through the Holy Spirit filling Simon, Simon became Peter. Which, by the way, means rock. Simon became Peter, became a rock for Christ. Through Jesus, Simon became a rock, a solid, bold, servant leader for the sake of others. And dear friends, please realize we should be changed as well. A huge change should happen in the lives of all who follow Jesus. Not all Christians become leaders like Peter, but all Christians are changed by Jesus, in order to draw others to Jesus, changed by Jesus for the sake of others, changed by Jesus to magnify Jesus before others. To emphasize this, I want to tell you about the Apostle John as well. As I said earlier, he is the one who wrote the gospel we're looking at. He wrote his gospel never using his name. That demonstrates his humility. It demonstrates his desire to not make himself known, but to make Jesus known. But listen to this. When John met Jesus, he was not a humble man. Look at Matthew chapter 20. Starting with verse 20, in Matthew 20, we read this. "Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to Jesus with her sons." Now, we've already learned her sons were James and John, right? They were the fishermen. "Kneeling before him," his mother, their mother, "kneeling before him," before Jesus, "she asked Jesus for something. And he said to her, 'What do you want?' She said to him, "Say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom." Now we're learning here some family dynamics. James and John had a strong, outgoing mother. She had no problem walking up to Jesus and making this very bold request. She's telling Jesus, "My sons are the best. My two sons are the best. They need to be your chief officers, one at your right, one at your left. They need to be especially honored in that way." Now, some sons would cringe if their mother did that, wouldn't they? "Mom, what are you doing? Stop it. Please, stop." But James and John, they didn't cringe at what their mother said. Matter of fact, it's very possible they may have asked their mother to do what she did. Look at what we read next. Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" They said to him, James and John said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. Notice that these other disciples were indignant at James and John. The disciples were not upset with their mother. They were upset with James and John because the brothers wanted what their mother requested. They were ambitious. They were self-seeking. They very likely may have asked their mother to go ask Jesus. The other apostles knew them, knew their pride, and they were upset with them because of their brash power play here. That's who John was, along with his brother. I'm going to read you one more passage about them. Look at Mark 3, verse 17 with me. In this verse, we learn that Jesus named James and John the sons of thunder. That's what he called them, the sons of thunder, because that describes who they were. They made themselves known. They shook things up. They were not bashful. They were not quiet. They were proud. They were loud. They were brash. But that's not who they remained. John became so humble, so Christ-exalting, he doesn't even mention his name in his own gospel. And listen to what the Apostle John writes in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. This is one of the letters he wrote, quote, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." John became a person who deeply understood what Jesus did for him, and he wanted to do the same for others. Dear friends, when we are drawn close to Jesus, Jesus changes us for the sake of other people. He changes us so that we might live and die to lead people to him, to draw others to him, to make disciples of him. He humbles us. He strengthens us to serve. Jesus changes us through his word to us, the Bible. That's why it's so important to keep hearing the Word of God, the Bible, digging into the Bible. I hope you're doing that this year. I hope you have a plan for digging into the Word. That's how Jesus changes us. Jesus changes us through trials. Jesus changes us through the Holy Spirit, whom he has filled us with. Jesus changes us through service. The more we serve, the more we use our giftedness, the more he changes us. Jesus changes us through the spurring on and encouragement of other people. And we should invite and seek all of that change in our lives. We should read the Word of God that we might change. We should pray for change. We should listen to others in order that we might be changed. We should be involved in ministry in order to be changed. That's application for us today. We should be changed by Jesus for the sake of others. We should all become humble servants for the exaltation of Jesus. I'll emphasize this by returning to the question I started with. Can you name all 12 apostles? I'll show you an answer to that question, and I'm going to explain why it's so hard to remember them. Here is a list of the 12, there is a list of the 12 apostles in four different passages. In four different passages, we find a list of them. Matthew 10, verses 2 through 4, Mark 3, verses 16 through 19, Luke 6, 14 through 16, and Acts 1, 13. That's where you can find a list of the 12 apostles. That last list in Acts is minus Judas Iscariot, who had betrayed Jesus. Here is the list in Matthew 10. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Those four are always listed first. Those are the four I've been talking about today. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. So that's an answer to the question I started with. Now, it's hard to remember all 12 names for two reasons. One reason is this: for three of them, different names are used. The name Peter's parents gave him was Simon. That was his given name. I've pointed out to that Jesus called him Peter as well. Sometimes a passage mentions Simon. Sometimes a passage mentions Peter. Sometimes a passage mentions Simon Peter. That can be a bit confusing. And Thaddeus, who is listed in Matthew, is also known as Judas, the son of James. In Luke chapter 6, which I've now added to the screen, he is listed that way rather than by Thaddeus. Well, that can be confusing. And in the Gospel of John, which I've put on the screen, Bartholomew is called Nathanael. Nathanael is what we would call his first name. Bartholomew is his Hebrew surname. That use of different names can be confusing and make it hard to remember the 12 names. But the main reason it's hard to remember all the names of the apostles is this: some of them are barely mentioned in the Bible. Matter of fact, some of them are only mentioned in these four lists of the apostles I've shown you, which means we know virtually nothing about some of them. For instance, all we know about Simon the Zealot is what the phrase says. He was a zealot, meaning he had been a zealot. He didn't remain a zealot. He was changed as well. That's all we know about him. He had been a zealot. Simon the Zealot, that's all we know. He's never again mentioned, only in the four lists. That makes it really hard to remember their name. Now, that reality about the apostles isn't happen chance. That is the reality about the apostles because the apostles were changed by Jesus for the sake of others. Their goal became to make known the name of Jesus to others. Apostles didn't care about making their names known. The apostles lived and died to draw others to Jesus, to lift up his name, make his name known. That should be our lives as well. A Christian is someone who wants to be changed by Jesus for the sake of making the name of Jesus known to others, exalt his name. That's why we should live. I don't care if people remember my name, remember Jesus. We've spent much time today on the Apostle Peter. I end with the last words he wrote in his second epistle. This is a great conclusion, a great call for us, application. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Bow with me in prayer. Father God Almighty, we thank you for your plan of spreading the gospel. We thank you that you have used others to draw us to Jesus. We thank you that you have filled us with your Spirit, given us your Word. We thank you that you are changing us so that we too might be used by you to draw others to Jesus. We give ourselves over to that. We offer ourselves up to you as living sacrifices. We want to exalt the name of Jesus. May you use us unto that end. Use us in many different ways. Use we, this one body, this church, to exalt your name throughout this world. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.